Right now, we are going to talk technology with Fevzi Turkalp, editor of GadgetDetective.com. And I mentioned these humanoid robots then, that are going to be acting, doing stuff for you. Fevzi, tell us more.
Well, so there's been a couple of articles recently that says, you know, is 2026 the year when humanoid robots actually arrive in our homes? And we say humanoid robots because, you know, people have got robot vacuum cleaners and robot lawnmowers and so forth, but things that have human shape. And there's a lot of them out there, particularly, high-tech startups are creating these robots and taking advance orders from them. So to that extent, yes, this is the year when they start entering the home. How useful they are, how good they are, how autonomous they are, however, I think is subject for discussion.
Give us your expert opinion then. Is it at this stage more of a gimmick, or are we really going to have, you know, the stuff of science fiction that a robot will sort of have a personality and help you around the house?
Well, we will have that. I mean, first of all, as far as personality is concerned, our large language models like ChatGPT, Perplexity, Google's Gemini, they already have personalities. Grok certainly has a personality, right?
Yeah.
So personality is not the issue. The issue is the physical reliability and dexterity of the robots themselves. Learning, and I do feel that a lot of what's going on, although they're selling these things or trying to for $20,000 a pop or $500 a month, actually it should be the other way around, because they're using them to learn and teach these robots how to do domestic chores. And if you look carefully, and they don't draw a lot of attention to this, but I mean, this article that I was looking at features five different robots from different companies. At least two of them are remote-controlled robots operated by a human being in real time. So,
oh, right.
You know, so
there's... It's not quite what it appears to be, then.
And it, remarkably, they don't draw your attention to it. You actually get some way into it before you realise this is not an autonomous robot. This is, a clever but remote-controlled thing. And essentially, you're paying a person to do the work, but remotely. And no doubt, a lot of these people will end up being in countries where the wages are not very high. And also, there is a privacy issue, because, of course, that person is seeing everything the robot is seeing about your home, hearing all the conversations that take place in your home. Mm. It brings me back to that old-fashioned, phrase, not in front of the servants.
Yes. So what would be the point then? I mean, as you say, we've got robot vacuum cleaners and things, but what tasks would these things do that would be worth presumably the thousands that it would cost?
Sure. So the problem with robots as they exist at the moment in our homes is that they're single-use things. So, vacuum, or the vacuum cleaner can't do the washing up, for example. So hanging up jackets, stripping beds, folding clothes, wiping up spills, putting away the dishes, doing the dishes, watering the plants, fetching the drinks, opening the front door, loading dishwashers, I think I may have said that one, folding socks, making coffee, just the things that domestic servants used to do for us, right?
Now,
it's upstairs, downstairs, all over again.
So it's like Jeeves. Probably. Ultimately, I suppose, I mean, it's all happening so quickly, relatively speaking, in terms of human history. I could imagine it's not going to take too long before we have something that is actually quite like a human.
Well, I mean, I think they already look quite human. And, not the face necessarily, but in terms of... some of them are obviously more human than others, but it's not just whether they're human-like. It is, do they have the versatility and the autonomy to do it? Are they safe? And what is the acceptance of these devices going to be like? People will change the sort of dynamic in a household. You know, and some people will welcome them. Other people will feel threatened by them. Some people will think they're not safe. You know, and every time there's another story in the news about AI taking human jobs, you know, you're going to start having essentially modern day Luddites, you know, taking it out on these devices as well, I fear.
Yeah, and some people even having them as friends.
Oh, yeah, and may I say more than friends as well. people are already making, you know, anthropomorphizing large language models and having friendships, companionships, dependent relationships, counseling relationships. Every sort of human relationship is being practiced with these things, but when they have physical form, of course, that's a whole new level. But it is difficult, you know, getting them to be capable, because a home is not a regular, you know, we've had robots in factories for a long time, but a factory is a highly regulated environment. You know, everything happens in a very predictable and repetitive way. Mm. Homes are not like that. And in fact, one of the things that one of the companies commented on was, you know, when they watch people do, they've developed these gloves for humans to wear. So when they do the chores, they can map them, you know, and then map their movements and learn from them. And they've already learned that everyone does their chores differently as well. So there is a question of what is the optimal way of doing chores. It is the future. But as to, you know, them being truly useful in our homes, first of all, they're very slow, generally speaking. They're kind of, they don't look very steady and smooth in their movements. But this will all change. I mean, think about the early days of the automobile and the hand crank and the man with a red flag running in front of it. You know, we are even before that level. We're at the, we're at the penny farthing stage, I think, actually. But progress is fast. The things that have really driven this are the AI for the intelligence and the improvements in the dexterity of these robots. I mean, I did see one of these robots pick up a wine glass and then pick up a second wine glass in the same hand. Which was quite impressive. And I've seen a lot of dexterity. And don't forget, these robots that we're seeing, they're the ones that are being built by startups. And they're a bit, they tend to be a little bit Heath Robinson, in my opinion. I think the future is, you know, these devices, entities, whatever you want to call them, will have better mobility than any human in the end. More dexterity, more precision. Just as they'll be smarter than us, they'll be more dexterous than us as well.
Oh, great. So I feel I've seen this movie and yes, it doesn't end well.
iRobot, right? It's
very others. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, almost always it's they end up sort of quite powerful and with their own rights and actually don't even see the need for humans quite often.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's stages to this, and you're right, because just as we had slaves, you know, human slaves, and slaves, you know, fought for their rights and got them eventually. Imagine an entity which, whilst not human, is at least as capable as a human. It will not be long before they ask for the right to own property, the right for payment, the right not to, in quotes, live in servitude. Yeah. And there will be, there will have to be rights granted to them. Because eventually, once these devices become sentient, once they fulfill most of the criteria, and because they look and will behave so in such a human way, it will be very hard to refuse them. And, and you would refuse them at your peril, because eventually they will take them.
Yes. Well, maybe not in my lifetime, but it is happening all very quickly. Now, you are the gadget detective, of course, so I think we've got time to talk about one gadget of your choice. What would you like to mention?
No, I came across a new version of a gadget that I'm actually familiar with that solves the problem of how to spread the internet around your home or around your office into all the corners where it doesn't reach, and not just wirelessly, but wired connections. At the moment, if you want a wired connection, so for example, gamers prefer wired connections, because not just because of speed, it's because of latency, the delay between, you know, moving a joystick and it actually having an effect in an online game, for example. So there's that. And also streaming 4K television, you know, it doesn't like latency, it doesn't like dropout, and Wi-Fi is not the ideal way of doing that. But if you want to run Ethernet cables all around your house, I mean, that's several hundred pounds a room. It's not cheap, and it's quite a disruptive process to do that. So this device is from a German company called Devolo, or Devolo, D-E-V-O-L-O. And it's called, charmingly, the Magic 2 Wi-Fi 6 Next. And this is the multi-room kit. So what this is it's a mesh network. So a mesh network is where you have different nodes, each of which in your home, each of which are emitting a Wi-Fi cloud. And those clouds overlap into a mesh. And so as you walk around, your phone in your hand, for example, may be locking onto each node as it comes into the strong field. It leaves one and does the other. Now, they claim, and I haven't tested this part of it yet, they claim that it can do that handover without dropping the connection.
Right. So this is for people with big homes, presumably, or up and downstairs?
It's partly for that, but it's also for people with homes that are constructed with quite solid way.
Right.
Or people who live in, you know, quarters where their Wi-Fi signal is being interfered with by their neighbours or other devices, because you get a lot of interference, and it's very tricky to get a reliable Wi-Fi connection under some circumstances. So what this thing does is it not only has the Wi-Fi nodes all around the house, or as many nodes as you have, but it doesn't rely on the Wi-Fi from one reaching the other. What it does is you plug it in. So the first node, you plug in to a socket near your router, and you connect it to the router with a cable. It then sends the internet from that node through your mains wiring at home. So this is what's called power line. So your mains 240 volt or 230 volt wiring carries the internet signal. So it goes along your mains wiring all around the house, and then it pops out where another node is plugged into a wall in a distant room.
Okay, so, that's quite clever,
So that connection over the large distance is not being done by having a Wi-Fi just about reaching and slowing, because it's not just does it reach, it's that what speed do you get by the time it's degraded the signal? And you don't have to have repeaters and things halfway between the two. It just pops out at the other end. Now, at the other end, you get a device which creates a Wi-Fi cloud in that room and the surrounding area, but it's also got two Ethernet sockets built into it, 1 gigabit Ethernet. So what that means is, you can have Wi-Fi in that room, but you can also plug in your games console and your 4K streaming TV directly into that. And what you've then achieved is a completely wired connection from the router to the first node by a wire, through the mains wiring, which is wire, and then out from that with a wire straight into your games console or TV. So you've achieved a completely wired connection, reliable, low latency connection, without having to wire up your house, which is a great convenience. The version that I'm looking at is what's called the multi-room system. So it's three nodes, one that plugs in near the router and two in remote rooms. You can get a starter kit which has got two nodes in it, and you can get single add-on units. So you could start with the starter kit and then add the add-on, and it's only £10 more expensive to do it that way than if you'd bought the multi-room kit in the first place. In terms of pricing, the multi-room kit is just a shade under £410. The starter kit is £240. And the add-ons are 180 if you want to do that. It's a really, really elegant solution, because it does all the stuff that mesh networks do with normal Wi-Fi, but it's got this additional trick up its sleeve of being power line devices that squirt the internet down your mains wiring. It's, I mean, quite incredible. 4.5 stars out of 5.
Firstly, thank you, Gadget Detective. More coming up after this.